Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of a bitch, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle. It's Sean Kwali. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and the smells of North America. As always, my family, I count it a privilege and I count this a joy. I count this an honor to be able to talk to you from this platform that we know of and considered as Black Power Radio, the most revolutionary, hard-hitting, uncompromising Black Power, Black Nationalist, Black Understanding radio that you will ever hear in your life. We come to you on this Monday night in thanks and in reverence, giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, some who know him by the name and know that one divine God by the name of Amun-Ra. Some know that divine regenerative force by the name of Shun or Gun. Some know that divine regenerative force as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some have that understanding and call that God Yahweh. Some call that one God Elohim. Some just say Lord God Almighty. Whatever your language and whatever that you use to express the oneness of God, we bear witness to the oneness of that one God, that black God, that came and that produced the blackness of space and the blackness of the universe and given true balance in the comedic sense as it was shown on the walls and the temples and shown on our sacred orchestra, our sacred temples and our sacred houses. It was shown that there was a God and a goddess. I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry if you don't want to give the black woman her due. I'm sorry if you don't want to show her in her true divine form. But there was a goddess. And so we give thanks on this Black Power Radio for the God and the goddess, the divine manifestation, the black man and the black woman. We give thanks for our ancestors, the ancestral line of divine. We give thanks for men like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We give thanks for Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We give thanks for Sister Queen Warrior Harriet Tubman. We give thanks for Sister Queen Warrior Rosa Parks. We give thanks for Prophet Noble Drew Ali. We give thanks for the Honorable Kwame Ture. We give thanks for another Honorable Thomas Sankara. We give thanks for Reverend Nat Turner, Comrade and Honorable Patrice Lumumba. We give thanks for Minister Malcolm X. And of course, we give thanks for the granddaddy of black power in the hills of North America, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And of course, we come to you, for those of you who don't know, and of course, on and on and on, the name is just too much, the list is too much to name, but we come to you talking about the new Black Panther Party. We come to you in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed, uncompromising black man, one whom you should know more about and whom we should grow to know more about, a man whom many have tried their best to write out of history. They have tried their best to not mention him and to not give him his just credit and his just due, or they've tried to give him some position of just some glorified spokesman or someone who didn't have much power at all. But we have come to recognize him as the Black Power General, the Black Power General. And our national chairman even recognized him as the Black Power Mujahideen. We are talking about the Honorable Comrade, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We give thanks for every single Panther Regiment, and in giving thanks for every single Panther Regiment to you OG Panthers out there, we are thankful to you. We are thankful for your sacrifice. We are thankful for your labor. We are thankful for your struggle, which is our struggle. And we are thankful for those of you who are continuing to struggle here in the hills and smells of North America and elsewhere. To the brothers and sisters who have been exiled, who have been put on the run, to our brothers and sisters and comrades who are behind enemy lines, locked down in the concentration camps called the prison halls of America, we are thankful for you and your sacrifice, and your works and your name will never go in vain. And so in saying that, we have to give thanks for Comrade Bobby Seale, who represented that Panther as the chairman or national chairman of the Black Panther Party. He represented in his best days, holding the line, saying that he and we were going to march on the big power structure and to come and get what's ours. We got to give thanks for the Honorable Comrade Huey P. Newton, giving thanks for that National Minister of Defense who showed us what it meant to stand up for black manhood and black womanhood and showed us what it meant to confront your oppressor when your oppressor moved on you and I to exterminate you and I. Out of all of the chairmen of the Black Panther Party, inclusive of the Lowndes County Freedom Organizational Party that was first to adopt the symbol and ideology of the Black Panther in the hills and smells of North America, we have to, of course, give thanks for the longest standing chairman, the longest standing chairman of any of the chairmen any of the chairmen of the Black Panther Party from past and present, a brother who had a spirit to organize, and a brother who has the spirit to organize and a spirit to work and to take what we know of as the 10-point program and take that from the pages of the program, inclusive of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program, inclusive of taking that from the paper and putting that into the streets. And so he has instilled in us and instilled in others outside of the party the old saying that talk is cheap. And so we have to be thankful on this Monday night for Black Power Radio, for the longest standing chairman of any regiment of the Panther Party who organized in Unity Nation and supported and stood by and still supports and still stands by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and stood by all of our great soldiers and warriors and freedom fighters, talking about Baba Ashraf Kwesi and talking about Baba Tony Martin, talking about so many others of you who are out there who saw this brother work as a young man on the campus of Howard University and has now risen to be a national organizer of a 60-city movement called the National and International Day of Action. And he is also the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, and we are proud to say that. And we expect to hear from him tonight as he will address us tonight. I'm talking about our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the warrior lawyer. And I say that to say this, that he comes in a line of continuum. He and we who are on this mission, we come in a line of continuum. The Black Power General said he called it the line of divine. We come in a line of continuum of freedom fighting and struggling for the liberation and salvation of the Black nation. And there is no question, as I'm getting this text, let me just say, there is no question that we give thanks for the premier leader, I'd say chief elder of the village, the spokesman, I'd say, for the will and idea of God in the person and who has organized for countless generations, who in many cases we would not be the people that we are and be the men and the women that we are were it not for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Make no mistake about that at all. We are not here to ever make any of our listeners who follow and who practice from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan feel like we are slighting or leaving out Minister Louis Farrakhan. The work that you see us do in terms of the new Black Panther Party, it is a supportive work of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is a supportive work of the Nation of Islam in general, even for those of you who may not be under the leadership of Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is also a supportive work, a cooperative work for those of you in the nationalist community who may be underneath Honorable Chairman O'Malley Yeshiteli. It is also a supportive work for those of you who are up and coming in the new UNIA and those of you who are up and coming in the Morris Science Temple of America. It is a work that includes all of our people. So to my family out there who may not be in the new Black Panther Party. Don't you feel slighted if I didn't mention your leader's name or our leader's name. We're saying, I'm talking to the ancestors, and we're saying that we're giving thanks to our brothers and sisters who have transcended and who are, you know, here with us through energy and here with us through ideas and here with us through the practice. But that man, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, is still here, still strong and still standing. And so we say, as you say, all praise is due to Allah. And so with that said, family, thank you. Welcome to Black Power Radio. You know this is the most hard-hitting radio of any radio show to be found. And we are happy to have you here, as I said, and we expect to hear from our national chairman. And he, of course, wants to open up the phone lines. And I know that many of you right now at the stage, you're listening. But we do want to be able to maybe take some questions and some answers. But I just want to say to you, family, that it is a good time to be black and awake in America. This is a good time to be black and awake, or black and on the right side of light in the hails and smells of North America, because everything right now, my family, is bearing witness to your rise. It is bearing witness to your and our rise and our liberation, our salvation, our exaltation. Everything in nature is bearing witness that the black man and the black woman, that our time has come. As you look at the time on the clock for white supremacy in America, and you look at the time on the clock, the handwriting on the wall for the global stranglehold of white supremacy all across the globe, you can clearly see that the time has run out. You can clearly see that even their own white children are in the streets, dissatisfied, upset, disheveled, angry, pissed off at the effects of the white power structure, and even in some cases, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad said, even the works of their own forefathers and foremothers. And he as well talked years ago when he was debating a Ashkenazi Jew. He said years ago that there would be those from among their own that would even rise up against them, and that would be a sign of the ultimate rise of the black man and the black woman, that what you see, black man and black woman, with these Occupy Wall Street movements and Occupy Florida and Occupy Oakland and Occupy Kentucky and Occupy D.C. and whatever's being occupied, that it is only a sign of the permanent occupation of the black man and black woman that is prepared to rule and prepared for rulership. Be not mistaken at all that what you're looking at with these movements on the street is similar to the 60s movement, where you had the hippies that were out there being drugged and carried away. They were being drugged and beaten over the head and carried to jail and all kind of stuff, because they were at that time protesting the war in Vietnam. This is nothing new to the hells and smells of North America. But what it is new, the thing that is new about it, is now you're in a different time. You're in a time now where you have a time called a mode called the Patriot Act, where now they even want to make your protest illegal. Not only are they talking about quenching the moves and the modes of dissent, they're talking about even your protest, even the idea of an opposing thought, an opposing viewpoint, an opposing standpoint. All of that is considered illegal in the hells and smells of North America. And so, yes, They are bloodying up the protesters out there. They're bloodying up those who consider themselves peaceful demonstrators. And as peaceful as they are out there, they're trying to be out there. You're seeing the white power structure send in, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and our national chairman teach, send in the extension of white power, which is the police departments. They're sending in the police departments and the officers of their law to enact their brand of justice on those who they consider peaceful demonstrators. And these are their own sons and their daughters and those who have grown up in a white supremacist structure of America. And so you know already, black man and black woman, what they have in store for us in the hells and smells of North America. They don't intend to be merciful. Some of you are out there waiting on this white man and the white woman to be merciful to you and I, and to one day turn around and turn over and give us some kind of freedom. You're waiting one day for them to just up and turn over the promised land to you, turn over the kingdom to you, one day just operate in peace with you and operate in peace with me and give you some type of Fortune 500 position and help you to live in a better condition and position. I'm here to tell you, you're going to be waiting a long time, brother and sister. You're going to be waiting for the rest of your life if you believe that this white man who has been brutal and white woman who has been brutal, and I don't hesitate to include the white woman. Too many of us would say the white man, but you leave out his counterpart. You leave out, as Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught, the manufacturing system, which is the white woman. You can never leave out the white woman when you're talking about the white man and that white supremacist ideology. And so you have that white woman who is teaching the white supremacist ideology to the white man and the white babies and raising them up to be white supremacist and to hold a position of what they call superiority over the darker peoples of the planet Earth. And so you're waiting on these people to be merciful to you and to turn over the keys of the kingdom to you. But I'm here to tell you that you are in for a surprise. They don't intend to hold or to ever turn over the kingdom to you. They intend to take you down with them. They intend to do everything in their power to make sure that you, black man and black woman, that you never rise. That is what the chemical and the biological warfare is all about. That is what the drugs and the violence in our community, that is what it's all about. That is what the breaking of the family unit and the breaking of the manhood and the breaking of the womanhood and the switching and the reversing of the roles, that's what that's all about. And so we have to tell you, brother and sister, that there is a change and there is a revolution that is taking place in America and the world. There is a global revolution. As Minister Malcolm X pointed out years ago from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there's a global revolution that is taking place all over the globe, and it is a revolution that is like a typhoon, a revolution that is like a tornado. It can't be stopped. There's nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do to stop, nothing that I want to do to stop the revolution that is taking place all over the world right now. But you have to make up in your mind, brother and sister, that you got to get on involved with the revolution that's taking place in the black world, taking place in the indigenous world. If you find yourself on the sidelines waiting to get involved in this revolution, it's just like you waiting for the tornado to pass over your home. It's like you waiting for a tornado or a typhoon to pass over. You're going to get thrown around and destroyed. As we're taught, this revolution don't know no compromise. And so as it's jumping off, and when it completely jumps off, if we don't know you to be a freedom fighter, if we don't know you to be a civilized man and civilized woman, if we don't know you to be a soldier and a warrior for the people, and you have proven yourself to be a Tom, then when this black tornado comes through, it will suck you up and run you over. That is the nature of a revolution. That is the nature of freedom fighting. That is the nature of complete constructive change. That is the nature of the black man and black woman, that when something isn't right, that we fight with it and wrestle with it and wrangle with it tooth and nail until it is either corrected or it is destroyed. This world, this white world of supremacy has reached its point. It has reached its zenith. And as the national chairman pointed out to you last week, last Monday night, that America right now is in her death throes. She's in her final convulsions, running around the earth and running around this country trying to bully those who don't have the power to fight back. But those nations, those indigenous nations, and I'm talking about even African nations, that have the power to fight back, that have the power to do some real trade, that have the power to stand on its own independence, they're not bullying them. And there are those that are coming up that are indigenous and those that are African and black that have their own independence, that will not bow down, that will not be bought out, and that will not talk out. And we are a sign as well in the hells and smells of North America. The strong that is in the Nation of Islam are a sign of that in North America. The strong that are in the Sherman O'Malley's organization, you're a sign of that. The strong that are in the Moore Science Temple, you're a sign of that. But we are a major sign of the complete resurrection of our people. And we cannot fail to mention this Day of Action movement, which is a sign of all of us together, as Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz teach our dry bones, the dry bones that rattle and come together. If you know that scripture, it say that when them winds blew, that when them winds blew and the turmoil came, that them bones began to rattle, that you saw that son of man, he was piping and singing, trying to get them bones to come up. And that's what you see when you see the warners of God. You see those warners of God piping and singing, and you see men like Minister Louis Farrakhan piping and singing and trying to get the bones to come together, and some of us will not come together. You heard the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad piping and singing, and some of the bones would not come together. You hear Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz piping to you all the day long, but some of you bones, you won't come together. And so the black God of our forefathers and foremothers has to make the wind blow, has to make the turmoil come, has to make this devil, this Satan, this Beelzebub, this Lucifer, this wicked beast take the mask off. Stop hiding behind being a peaceful, non-combative. They have to make this beast come out in real form, and just like in the old days and in the old movies, you have to look and see that Godzilla and look at the yellow man and say, look, Godzilla, you got to see that monster coming now. And so now you're beginning to see the militarization of the police. You're beginning to see those in the courthouse get stricter and get more wicked and get more cunning in their machinations. You see every sector of this society beginning to bear down on black people because that mask is being forced off. The times are getting tougher. The times are getting rougher. The times are getting more turbulent. And so now the people are dissatisfied and the people are calling for change. We're not talking about just being a part of the daggone 1%. We're talking about being the original fathers and mothers of the planet Earth. We're talking about a people who want their rightful place in the sun, and it has been denied from them every which way they turn. Whether they protest, whether they picket, whether they buy land, whether they go to school, whether they work a job. Every single way we've tried to get our freedom, it has been denied to us because, as our ancestors and elders have told us, we have not tried our unity. And so that is why our Day of Action movement is a clear sign. It is a clear sign that we can accomplish whatever it is that we will if we are in unity. That if we would come together and put down these labels and stop gang banging and having so much infighting regarding labels, that we can do whatever we want. If you want your community changed, if you want some serious change in the black community, it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take us to swallow some of our pride and swallow some of our even old beefs. It's going to take us to want to work together and to get along and to want to stand up and be a united army. Because when this beast makes its move, as the beast is making its move now, as they are making their move now, they are not interested on whether you're calling yourself a Muslim or whether you're calling yourself a Christian, whether you're calling yourself a Hebrew, whether you're calling yourself a Buddhist, whether you're calling yourself even an agnostic. They're not interested in no labels. They're interested in the eradication of the black nation. And you might think that they're going to be lenient on you because you may be a conservative Muslim or because you may be a conservative Christian or because you might be conservative this or that, or you might be in line with their American values. You might think that they're going to be lenient on you, but I'm here to tell you they're going to be just as hard and just as brutal on you as they are on those who they consider radicals and those who they consider out of line with the status quo. So you might as well get in line with the movement now. You might as well fall in now to your respective position and take up that mantle of freedom fighting. You might as well, if you have retreated from the streets, you might as well now lace up your boots and shine up your shoes. You might as well polish up and dry clean your suit. You might as well dry clean your uniform. You might as well tighten up your beret and ride on back out there in the streets. And let's go and get our people and let us help in this effort to help resurrect our people. And so let's now bring to Black Power Radio our national chairman, who will be delivering this next message to help us to rise and get a better response out of ourselves and our people. This is our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz.
All right, Black Power, thank you so much, sir. Properly relieved.
Thank you, sir.
To get black, my honor and my privilege to be on Black Power Radio. I'm going to make sure this phone sounded right, too. How am I sounding?
You sound fine, sir.
All right, I'm on to be Black Power Radio. You better make that move, Black, so you can come back and run the boards. Thank you
yes,
so
sir.
Much to our national spokesman. Not enough I can say about how much love and respect that I have for Minister Sean Quali. And so we're thankful for hearing from him. We're thankful for you all who have been calling in and who are in the radio listening audience here on Black Power Radio. I have some important business to take care of tonight. So I want to start off by giving honor to God and giving honor to the ancestors and giving honor to all of those who have struggled in the line of divine. And I greet you all, Black Power, Assalamu Alaikum, Hotep, Praise the Lord, Free the Land, and Pass the Ammunition. And to the 5%ers, peace, God. To those who are in the radio listening audience, I wish I could open up right now and take some questions, but really I can't because I don't control the boards here right now. But what I will do, I need to fix something up here. I'm trying to really get a bite to eat. Let me not even front. I have just come from the law practice, and now I've been running around like mad today. After coming from New York on the train early this morning from a tribute to the elders. Pardon me while I eat, but I don't know no other way. I got to get a slight bite to eat. Bear with me, sisters and brothers. I know it's unprofessional, but I be working so hard. I work all day, go through the radio all night, I got another meeting. I just remembered when I get off this phone that goes all the way into midnight, and it can be stressful on a black man's body if I don't get something to eat. So I got to talk to y'all while eating because it's important for me to be on. Coming up soon in a few moments at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock, we're going to really talk strong about black farmers. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a soldier here on the line. I'm going to get Sister Lady Freedom on. She's going to relieve me for a minute. It's a hot minute while I get a black bite to eat. And I know a perfect black woman that would be great for me to call right now for her to come on to talk about what we'll talk about at the top of the hour, and that's the Black Farmers Symposium and the whole Black Farmers Weekend that took place in New York, and the tribute to the elders that I spoke at in Harlem, guests of the Nat Turner Coalition. Hold 1 second, sisters. Hold 1 second, sisters and brothers. Hey, Freedom. What are you doing, sister? Y'all, sisters and brothers, hold on with me 1 second. I know this is kind of wild, but it's Black Power Radio. Hold 1 second. Freedom. Freedom out at some kind of meeting. She may not even be able to help. Yes, ma'am. Sister, do me a favor. Step outside for a minute. Come on the radio for 10 minutes. To talk about the Black Farmers Program, and then I'll come back on. Y'all, sisters and brothers, hold 1 second. This is organizing in motion. Hold 1 second. I'm on the radio now trying to get you to come on. Can I call you on the three-way? I'm going to call you on the three-way right now. I need you to come on and relieve me for 10 minutes so I can get a black bite to eat. I can come back on and run the program. Stand by. Hold on. I'm calling you right now. I'm going to call you on the other line. Okay, sisters and brothers, hold on. I hope I don't blow this because I got to do a three-way. And Sean is not here to run the board. So let's cross our fingers. Hold 1 second. I think I'm black on. I believe it. I'm black on.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Lady Freedom, do me a favor, sir.
Yes, sir.
Come help me with the broadcast for a minute. We're on Black Power Radio live. I got Ya and Oba coming on at the top of the hour. We're going to talk about what happened in New York this weekend and other things going around the nation. We're going to take questions and answers. But can you, for 10 minutes, tell us what's happening in the revolutionary world from your perspective in the South? Just tell us what's going on for 10 minutes, and I'm going to come back and take back
right
over. And I got to get a bite to eat. I've been running 14, 16 hours with nothing to eat. So go right ahead, Queen.
You most definitely deserve it, Chairman. Please do what you need to do to be strong on your post and continue to be strong on your post. And I am reporting to you right now in the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, where those gongs went off back in the 60s. Getting ready to go into the exact basement where in those days those bombs were dropped here in Birmingham, Alabama. And I'm glad to let you all know that I'm currently here where you may hear some noise in the background. There's people outside the church. The church is full, where the brown people and the black people are brown people standing together against these evil laws that these people are making here in the state of Alabama and across the South and many other places. And so what I can tell you what's going on in the revolutionary world is that the black and the brown are coming together, just like we've seen our wonderful chairman reach out to the gangs in the streets and seeing the Latin Kings and others come together with the Crips, the Bloods, the folks, and all like that. And so what I want you all to know is that the time is coming when the people of color are coming together to rise together, to stand together. I wish I could see the beautiful seeds of these people. But I want to also let you all know on the black front that we do have some wonderful organizers, some lovely people working to not only say that we want to support black, by black, but to actually support our black farmers. There was an event in New York where a 20-foot trailer of black farmers' goods was brought into the city of New York. So we're putting it into action, and as part of the United Front Agriculture Ministry, I'm glad to see it coming to pass, because we're putting words with our action, we're putting our dreams into action. And it's just beautiful to see it unfolding in this way at this time, and for us to be here at a time such as this. And it's just beautiful to be here right now in Birmingham, Alabama, in the same church where those four little girls, five people lost their lives. We were fighting in the revolution. And at that time, it may not have seemed like a revolution because it was peaceful marches and things like that, but some things were changed and re-evolved in order to get a change.
Let me ask you a quick question.
We are living in that time right
now. Let me ask
now.
You
yes,
a question.
Sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
In reference to Alabama, where is the focus in them and the mind of the people? Are they concerned about the 2012 elections? Are they more concerned about jobs and the economy right now? What is their political attitude? What is their attitude in general? What are they concerned about? And what are their prospects or interest in what we call black power?
Unfortunately, and just to tell the truth, Chairman, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like there is much. It's just, unfortunately, a state of apathy. You know, people are either believing that it's going to go the way that the opposition wants it to go, or that there's no reason for them to get involved in the process. I'm really feeling a strong sense of apathy, and unfortunately, it's going to take things like these evil immigration laws and other discriminatory measures in order for people to really realize that they need to wake up. Case in point, while in the same county where people were beat on the steps going to register to vote in Dallas County, in Selma, Alabama, the same courthouse, we have lost our black voter registrars, not only in our county of Dallas County, but throughout the counties of Alabama, and we cannot get our people to stand. And it's straight, we cannot get our own people to stand because they do not understand how it impacts them. And so it is on us to help our people to understand why is it important for them to get involved. It's sad to say so many people are saying there's no need for black power when they don't realize that we're in the position that we are in because the last have not become first again. And so, unfortunately, and maybe it's just my assessment, but unfortunately, the people are in a state of apathy. They've been lulled to sleep. They're cool because they're getting their food stamps and their government assistance, not realizing that when these people separate from the United States, all those federal things and those accommodations that they're so used to and getting lackadaisical sitting on, when they remove those, I believe we're going to see a bunch of people seeking black power out and wondering where it's at when we were trying to call them out to get involved. And so to me that says that we just have to continue doing what we're doing and have the solutions ready for the people when they come seeking us out. Now, I don't want to make it seem like no one is getting involved. And no one is.
Are you saying the white man has to crack down harder on us?
Unfortunately, I'm really feeling like that's going to be the only thing to get our people to understand, because too many of our people are so busy trying to make it seem like everything is okay and everything is fine. So many of our people are still getting those handouts from Mr. and thinking that they have to protect him some kind of way or another instead of just addressing the issues that be. And so I hate to say it, but I really do believe that's what it's going to take to get our people to wake up and realize everything's not as peachy as they think. Help us to pray. And so I continue to pray for the day when our people, the scales come off of the eyes of our people, off the ears of our people, and so that we can do, we just need to continue doing what we know needs to be done so that when it does hit the fan, we'll have somewhere for our people to go. We'll have some food to eat, and they won't be trying to find out how to provide it and to get the necessities that our people need to them. Because the time is coming very soon, and y'all can mark my words, whether you vote or not, when the president wins again, we will see that secession from the southern states.
Right. Let me do this, Queen. I appreciate you filling in. And I just talk right black with you. I'm getting ready to bring Yah and Oba on and the people from the George Washington Carver Farms and continue the show now. And I thank you for just playing, getting, coming in and helping me so I can get a bite to eat.
Anytime, Sherman, anytime.
You can listen to the show if you get a chance. We got work to do, and we are on course. So I'm going to get back into the show right now, and I'm going to be talking about the ministries all night and talking about black nationalism and black power.
Very well.
And talking about
all
everything
power.
We talked about this year and making it and putting the bringing it to its fruition. And so just tune on in, Queen. I thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Sister Lady Freedom, Sister Charette from Selma, Alabama, one of our great organizers and fighters in the black nation in the 2011 going into 2012. Thank you, Queen, so much. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Sisters and brothers, I'm thinking I'm black on. I'm hoping I'm on. That was a nice move. Nice assist. If I could get a bite, I'm ready to rock now. Sisters and brothers in the Black Power listening audience, this is your brother, your servant, and your helper, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the chairman of the New Black Panther Party and one of the leading organizers in the United Front, and a believer and practitioner of black nationalism, a believer and practitioner of black power. And I'm trying my best every day, sisters and brothers, to bring what we believe and what we teach into a manifest reality. I'm trying my best every day to build a united front and to build strong relations with other black leaders, build strong relations with other black organizations, build strong relations with other freedom fighters and revolutionaries, and I'm constantly saying we need to band together and unite. So all organizers who are on the listening line tonight, all revolutionaries who are on the line tonight, all those who are serious about activism, all of those who are making a career out of this, I want to know tonight, are you making a career out of this? I'm talking about the liberation struggle of black people. How many career organizers, career revolutionaries, how many of us on the line are stating right now, with no posturing in front of nobody, that we are 100% serious about the struggle for the liberation of black people, and we really believe. And we're ready to put some time in. We're ready to put some sacrifice in. We're ready to put some strong organizing efforts in. Ready to put some hard days and nights in to get our people out of this condition. Now, that's not a lot. As we come from the tribute to the elders last night in Harlem, I was blessed to speak guest of the Nat Turner Coalition, Brother Shaka Shakur and others. They put on a tribute to the elders, a tribute to Dr. Yusuf Benyakinen, a tribute to Brother Mbaba Ilambe Brath, a tribute to the great journalist Gil Noble, and it was right there at the National Black Theater in Harlem, New York, founded by Barbara Antier and her family. What another classic location. Before I talk about the event, I must say I love New York. Oh, I love New York. And New York has brought me a lot of pride and a lot of pain. New York has brought me a lot of good times, controversial times. I could even say the best of times. It has also brought me a lot of trauma and a lot of drama. It was in 19, really, I got introduced to New York around 1994 as a Howard University law student And that summer of 1994, Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad had been shot in the leg in Riverside, California, in May of 1994, May 29th, at Riverside, California. By his side, Minister Hashim Nzinga courageously helped him to get to the hospital and to maintain security, which was risky as hell at that time, at the hospital. By God's grace, our minister's life was saved, and he was rushed out of a hospital in Riverside, fresh with a bullet out of his leg, could barely walk, rushed into Dallas, Texas, where he was secured with armed security, locked and loaded, from the new Black Panther Party. That's really how the new Black Panther Party took off. That's really how Khalid Muhammad, the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, that is really how he began his road to becoming the chairman. And anyway, the most important part there is that his life was secure. I flew into Dallas, Texas, right when he got to Dallas, Texas. He took a 9mm and put it right in my hand. I said, "Yes, sir." And we kept it right on moving, guarding and protecting our minister's life at the time when they really were trying to kill him. There's a lot to be told. I will come back on this radio listening broadcast one time, one day, and I will have to go into the life of Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, parts 1, 2, and 3. The life of Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, 1, 2, and 3. What a subject that you should hear. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, the young man and the young star quarterback from high school and in the drama plays and the young debater. The Khalid Muhammad, the college student and first theological student, and later student revolutionary on the campus of Dillard University. The Khalid Muhammad that was converted in Lawless Chapel in 1967 by Minister Louis Farrakhan. He was then Brother Hal Van Moore, and was later on converted to Brother Hal X. Look at me, I'm already starting the lecture. I'll get black into it. Suffice to say that January 12th, 2012. Check that out. You got the 12 and the 12. Huh? January 12th, 2012 will be Khalid Abdul-Muhammad Holy Day. January 12, 2012, we will celebrate the life and the legacy of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Minister Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, who is just like I said when I met him, and I never changed from that day in 1989. I call him one of the greatest black men ever to walk the face of the planet Earth. I could go on and on with that subject, and I know some of y'all want to hear that subject, but I will bring that subject back at another time. But it's a good part to mention tonight because those that I will be bringing on soon, when Minister Sean Quali come back to take the boards, is Sister Yah Asantewa and Brother Obawela from New York City, who are our allies in the new Black Panther Party. Hey, they are calling me right now. Hold 1 second. Hey, Black Power. I know, just stay on the line, and when Brother Sean comes back, he's going to punch you in. Probably be 5 after the hour. So. But try to get in the... No, you stay on the line, on the radio line. Stay on the line. They will pick up. He just had to take a break, a black break, and he'll be right black. So just stay. Right, and be in a quiet place so you have little background noise. The people will be waiting to hear you, okay? Okay, so just press 1, stay in the zone, and stand by. Keep your phone charged, okay? Yes, sir. That's the number. All right, stand by. No, call back now. Just, all right, well, you better just stay in the host zone. All right, Black Power. Sorry, sisters and brothers. I got to man the lines publicly right now because we're running around. But that's how it is. It's a little glimpse behind the scene of what's taking place at the Black House and also taking place from our Ministry of Information coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. And I got good news. Louisville, Kentucky is on the rise. Those that will be coming on this phone, Yah and Oba, dedicated to a program of Black farmers and bringing 40-foot trailers of a truck full of food, collard greens and potatoes and food for my Black farmers. I got good news. I got good news that other Black organizations, and it appears now that there's a resurgence in the movement to have respect for the elders. That's good news. I got good news that the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is going strong, even 10 years or 11 years later after departure of our leader, our Black Power General, and our minister, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Good news, Doc. We haven't let you down. Good news, Doc. You are a tree that produces good fruit. Good news coming from those who have been persuaded by the teachings and the example of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. I think that we are making him proud. I'm sure we could do better, but I'm sure he's pleasantly surprised that we have maintained it. Anyway, good news. That the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense is in good shape as we are here near the end of November pushing up on the white man's Thanksgiving. Well, we don't know what we have to be thankful for. I mean, how much thankful can you be? We better thank God here on Gina May and thank our minister again, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, for giving to us Gina May and giving us a cultural celebration at this point in time of the year where we say we will worship none except God. Gina May, meaning none except the one God. And he gives us a time here to reflect with our family, give thanks and reflection with our family, and ties us into Africa. More on that really next year, as we will get into the cultural contributions of Dr. Khalid Muhammad and do it in an official way. Right now, we are going to really thank King Samir Shabazz, the National Field Marshal of the new Black Panther Party, for spearheading this project, the Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad Holy Day, January 12th. We will not be working. We will not be going to school. We will not be buying from the white man, and we will be giving proper honor to our leader. We take off for George Washington, old wooden tooth slave master, black woman raping George Washington. Negroes running around talking about his President's Day. Old wooden tooth black woman raping black people, slavery, suffering, and death dealing old no good Thomas Jefferson. You celebrate Jefferson's birthday. We take off for that, President's Day. The murderers and the killers of your people reduce you to three-fifths of a human being, set up a government so they could get free from England, so they could be free enough to rule over you, fighting for control over their slaves. Another subject that we will get into. But the bottom line is, on January 12th, Khalid Abdul Muhammad Day. He's a champion to many of you. Many of you admire him. There's very few that don't admire the courage, the bravery of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Even if he says some things you may be mad about, overall, you gotta like him. He's a diamond amongst men. And so, again, that's January 12th. Khaled Muhammad Day. We will be putting something on in New York City. There will be something strong going on in New York. And we want to honor the doc all over the country before we then proceed at some point in February for our national and international Day of Action and Unity number 4. That's right, I said it, the National and International Day of Action and Unity number 4. So the white man, he just tried to basically steal it. Just a few days ago, they had their National and International Day of Action. Now, where the hell did they get that from? At any rate, good luck to them. Occupy movement. The Occupy movement, I guess from their perspective, they've done a hell of a job. But they're also finding out how wicked this system is and how much of a brute beast system it is, and they're getting just a slight taste of what we've been getting for over 400 years. Be that as it may, their organizing has been impressive. I know what it's like to try to work to put together rallies and action and coordinate a nationwide movement all at the same time. It's not easy. And so, if you study what they're doing, there's still some lessons to be learned in struggle, and also lessons to be learned on our commitment to the struggle. Because if some white boys and white people will get out here talking about their battle against the 1%, these people are really not oppressed, let's be honest. You know, they're facing lack of job opportunities. They're facing high student loans. Are they getting their ass whooped by the police every day like us? Are they getting whole city policies and state policies that just do that are just dead set against their race? Hell no, they're white. They can get a shave and a haircut right now, put a suit on, and walk right to the top of Wall Street. No questions asked, no background check. That's how it was in the 60s. They checked out of the revolution. They checked out of the struggle, some of them. They were out in California on Sunset Boulevard living like hippies and claiming about talking about a revolution. But soon thereafter, they got a shave on. Haircut, and goddamn it, went back to white corporate America. You cannot change the color of your skin. And you cannot change the reality of being black in America. What am I saying? I'm saying if they did it, then you can do it. If they did it, then you can do it. I'm just buying some time till Minister Sean Kwalee comes back on, and we're going to talk to Yah and Oba, Sister Yah and Brother Oba, from the George Washington Carver Farms Coalition, from the Word Ministry of Agriculture. They're also in the New Black Panther Party and part of the United Front Ministry of Agriculture and the African Nationalist Pioneer Movement. They're everywhere, but they're my allies. They're my allies. And I was a part of putting on what we'll be talking about with them in just a few moments. And that was the Black Farmers Weekend and the East Coast Black Farmers Symposium. They have been out in New York selling the goods all over New York over the weekend. And I have to be honest, they're doing a great job to bring into a worker relationship with the black farmers in Carolina, North Carolina, to bring a 40-foot truck of goods that we'll be telling you about in a moment. But I got to keep it real. They've been facing hard times. I got to keep it real. They are like pioneers that are ahead of the game. And the black man and woman of New York is slowly get up to support them in the way that they should. We'll get into it in a minute. Brothers and sisters, we're so used to the white man giving us everything. We're so used to the white man providing everything. We're so used to the white man giving us electricity, the white man giving us water, The white man giving us streets and street lights. The white man giving us a subway. The white man giving us social services. The white man giving us Section 8. Social Security, disability. We're so used to it. What will we do without the white man? Think about it. What kind of position we're in as we talk about moving towards freedom and independence. If the white man cut the lights off tonight, what would a black man and woman do? If he cut off the water tomorrow, what would a black man and woman do? Huh? If he shut down the market, if he shut down your local market tonight, what are you going to do? We're talking here, sisters and brothers, on a serious subject tonight when we talk about black farming. But I'm trying to let you know, we're talking about the survival of a nation, the survival of a people. We're talking about a strong act of resistance. That's what we're talking about. Hang on, Yon Obah. Sean will be back in a minute. He had to pick Sister National Assistant up and bring her black to the Black House, to the Ministry of Information. We're over here in the Black House, not the White House. No, we don't operate out of the White House. This is the Black House here. No matter how black you are, if you're in a White House and in the White House, you're going to be doing the business of white folks. Don't care how black you are, how black your wife or queen is. If it's still the White House, you're going to be doing the business of white folks. Any evidence to the contrary, would you please present it to the jury? We would like to see it entered into evidence, because I have seen nothing different coming out the White House other than policies for white folks. So we're talking about acts of resistance now, building for black. You know, this is like the hardest job ever given to any people, anywhere, anytime. Talking about the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the so-called Negro. The hardest job given to any people, anywhere. Hold on. I got a message coming in here on the phone line. He say 2 minutes. Hardest job given to any people, anywhere, anytime. The resurrection of the dead. And now we're talking about building a nation out of a people that have been mentally, morally, and spiritually destroyed. Getting them to break from the white man. Getting them to break from dependency and belief in the white man and to believe in themselves and to walk for themselves, to trust in themselves. What we're trying to do is give you all a reason to embrace that's what's called black nationalism. That's what I'm talking about as we talk about black farming. See, now some of y'all get silly with this. You take it too light. You niggas just making crazy comments. Talking ain't no fertilizer gonna free us. Ain't no carrots and peas. You know, y'all think it's boring. Y'all think farming is corny. But when we talk about any act of black development, any essential, non-negotiable act towards black power, everything we do for ourselves that's critical is an act of resistance against the enemy. Do you hear what I mean? You want to resist this enemy. And the best avenue available to you right now is to build something of independence for your people. And every act of development, every act of institution building, every act of nation building is an act of resistance against a system and a people that have snared us in the trap and made us totally dependent. So every black school you build is a blow to white supremacy. Every black group of kids you get together and mentor is a blow to white ideology and white racism. Every time we support acts of black land development and black farming and black nation building, that's a blow to the system of being dependent on our enemy. You must understand that black nationalism, black nation building in and of itself are acts of resistance. And if you're a real freedom fighter, you know, you can talk bad about the white man all you want to yourself. You can talk bad about the white man all you want to on Facebook. But until you really get up and start building something, if you're on the line, black man?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, I'm glad I'm still on because I've been switching these lines over. I'm glad you got back on. And so what we're saying, I want you to help me do this interview also with Yah and Oba in a moment. So hang in here with me.
Right.
What we're saying is every act of development, every act of liberation, every act of nation building, that's the basis of black nationalism, these are acts of resistance against the enemy. You want to attack your enemy, don't let them set you up like they did that some brother they got on TV with some electronics saying he was trying to blow up something. Don't let them trap you out there like that. That's what the white man is trying to do right now. Every act you build of nationalism, every act you build of independence, everything you do to build up for your people is automatically tearing down the enemy's world. A rising force automatically destroys a falling force. A rising force automatically tears down and dismantles a falling force. So, with that stated, like I always say, you're either going to build something or kill something. But doing nothing is not an option. I want to bring on to you right now some friends of mine, some fellow comrades of mine, some fellow admirers and those who were touched by Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. They're dedicated to the black nationalist cause and sponsored the East Coast Black Farmers Symposium and the Black Farmers Weekend. And we are saying, everybody, tune in. Tune in right now and listen up. Because we in the United Front Ministry of Agriculture are making our word bond that we would support any process and that we were going to start moving food into these cities. That's what we said. And so they have come to join us and to help us, and we have put our money where our mouth is, or I put my money where my mouth is. And so, Yah and Oba, are you there? Oba.
What's the area called, Brother Chairman?
Oh, I'm sorry. He's at 347.
All right, let me see.
He's on that 347-876 number.
All right, we got a 347-784. You're on Black Power Radio. This is Brother Yah and Oba. Pardon, Brother Yah, this is our family. Right.
Let me call them. Let me see exactly what line they on. They've been waiting. Hit the 347s. Hit the 347s and see what comes up.
Yes, sir. We got all 347 open right now.
I think it's 347-876. Look for that. Or 347-737.
No, sir, that's not in queue. They may have to call Black in.
Y'all call in right now. What other 347s you got?
That's the only 347 in queue, sir.
Okay, y'all know about it. Y'all need to call in right now. 646. 478.
Number 64. That's right.
Yeah, 646-478-4447. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What about 212? I hope they didn't get on another phone. You got any 212s up there?
No 212s. We just got a 217.
They phones might have went out. I might have wore it out, and they might have been on the line too long. Let's go to the phone lines, black man, and keep looking for them 347s to call in. Let's just go to the line.
All right, brothers and sisters, you have been listening to our national chairman. We want to open up the phone lines. We're waiting on our family out of New York to call. Longtime comrades, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, but we also want to hear from you all. And so for those of you who have your questions ready for Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, please press number one. We'll go right now with 910-286. You're on the air with Black Power Radio and our national chairman, Black Power. Go right ahead. Area code 910-286. Your mic's open. Your question or comment, please. Okay, we'll keep it moving. Let's not have a question. All right, and for others, those of you who have a question, make sure that you press one. Nobody has a question right now, Brother Chen.
All right, black man. Well,
be it you, sir. Be it you. Hold on. Here we go.
I don't know what to say. I would like to say I take questions from you, but I'd be so relieved sometime to get a break because I have to be answering these questions with all of this force and focus, you know?
Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to Yon Oba coming on.
I think this is them now.
Bring them on. We got to raise some money tonight.
Okay. 347-784. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Black Power. Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Zaida. How are you today?
Hey, Black Power. Alaikum salam. Doing good.
I figured I'd, you know, ask a question since nobody else was asking the question.
Yes, ma'am.
I am in North Carolina. I hail from New York. That's, you know, hence the 347 number, but I do live in North Carolina. And I have a garden in my backyard. Well, actually, my sister's backyard. And I'm growing winter vegetables, corn and broccoli and things like that. How can I get in contact with the black farmers in North Carolina?
All right. That's excellent. I got two numbers for you. I want you to call the United Front Ministry of Agriculture and our representative, Sister Lady Freedom, who is in contact with black farmers all over America. And I would like you to also join the ministry, the United Front Ministry of Agriculture. We're trying to unite all of the different activists and organizers in black farming and try to bring them together in a coalition. Not the only coalition, but a strong coalition. Her number, my sister, Lady Freedom, is 334-505-6852. 334-505-6852.
Yes,
give a call to her. I give you Yah and Oba's number, who just had a 40-foot truck of goods and produce and vegetables and dry goods that came up from New York. That's area code 347-876-0123. 347-876-0123. Lady Freedom is in Alabama, Yon Oba in New York.
Okay.
We'll put you in touch with the black farmers in North Carolina. And what city? You're in New York, right?
I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, you're in Charlotte. What do you want to do? What's on your mind, black woman?
Well, I've been gardening since I got my house in 2005. Every summer I would garden. This is the first year that I'm actually gardening in the wintertime. And I'm growing corn, carrots, broccoli, and cauliflower.
Okay.
So I just wanted to find out about, you know, I guess to just network with other black farmers and see, you know, how we can help each other.
Sister, please, let me give you my email. I need your help. We're trying to build the ministry and put you in touch with others of like minds so that we can carry out productive activities in the black farming arena and educate our people to the importance of land development. My email is shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com. shabazzlawoffice@yahoo.com. The website is www.newblackpanther.com. Minister Sean.
Yes, sir, Brother Chip.
Do we have any 347s in?
No new 347s, no, sir. Just a couple of more questions online.
Well, they may have to come back And I guess I was going to try to raise some money with them tonight, though, you know?
Yes,
but maybe
sir,
we'll come back on Wednesday. They have some debts. They bought a whole lot of food in New York. And I guess they just didn't get rid of the product fast enough. They're still trying to get rid of it. But they don't have, they have a good distribution network through some churches, and they've been allied and helped by Reverend Al Sampson and others.
Hmm. Yes, sir.
But more support is needed on the ground. More support on the, in New York was needed on the ground to make this shipment, to really what we say, get rid of the shipment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to try to come on the phone tonight. I guess we'll pump it up and come on Wednesday nights to have a little telethon.
Okay.
To raise some money for them in a telethon on Wednesday night so that they can keep going. When you got brothers
sir.
And sisters that have tried, they really put their hearts into this. They had a symposium on Saturday, a big meeting, and then they had, they brought all the food in, but they don't really have a place to refrigerate it. And so the collard greens right now, they ain't got but a couple of days with them before they go bad, you know. Potatoes will last. They'll tell you all about it. So they sold a lot, but most black people did not believe them. When they were trying to make the advanced sales, most of the people just wouldn't believe that another black man or woman or team of brothers and sisters could deliver. So they
right.
didn't trust them enough just to give them the $35 pre-order where they could come and meet them at the distribution points and pick up their orders. We were so distrustful of each other. You know, kind of touching on what I said earlier. So there's some groundwork we got to do is what I'm saying, brother. We want to make our organizing efforts successful. We want to make brothers and sisters who we support successful. And we have to do We have to band together, put our resources together, give them better help so that they can bounce back strong in February and so we can get a regular program in a black farming and black farm production, eating from black farmers in New York.
Yes,
and
sir.
So I spoke on that earlier. Is anybody called in on the line? 646-478-4447. That's the call in. 646-478-4447. That's the call in.
Yes, sir. We want to go. There's another caller on. Area code 504-432. You're on the air with the national chairman. Give us your question, your comment. The lines are open to you, Black Power.
Black Power. Look, how y'all brothers doing?
Fine, sir. How are you, black man?
Good. I'm doing okay. Well, Brother Malik, now by you being an attorney, did you ever try to look into... This happened in Atlanta, I think, in the early 80s when all those little black children was coming up dead, and they picked that black guy up, but he said he was real innocent, but then they said that the Klan had was trying to go and, you know, he was going to try to start up a race war. I forgot the guy's name.
Wayne Williams.
Look into that? Wayne Williams?
That's Wayne Williams.
Okay.
Is that right, Charles?
Yes.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right, Minister Sean?
Yes, sir, that's right. Wayne Williams.
Yeah, the alleged Atlanta child murderer.
Okay, but I don't hear anybody speaking out against that. I just, you know, read a little article about that.
Well, you know, the last time I watched a CNN special with Wayne, and they went over the whole case of the Atlanta child murderers and whether it was really him and how his physical stature meant that he really couldn't have committed these crimes and the other allegations that he was just being framed up and for political reasons they put it on him just to make it go away. And they did have credible threats from the Ku Klux Klan in the surrounding Georgia areas who were saying that they were the ones that were kidnapping and killing young black children. It's difficult to say, brother. I don't have enough, you know, I do believe it's a possibility he was framed. But then again, I can't come out here and say straight up that Wayne Williams is innocent. That's about all I can say. Any evidence, certainly not only would I be looking for that evidence, but other persons would be looking for that evidence, as well as an indication on who really committed all of those murders. They call it now. You know what? I think I might just tell them to do this next week. Just give us a greeting. Hold 1 second. Hey.
Yes, sir, brother. We on live radio. And you just on that note, you can also check out.
Okay, well, look.
James
y'all know by 646-478.
Yeah, with me, brother. James Baldwin, the evidence of things not seen in 1985.
I might have gave you the wrong question. Number. 676-478-4447. I might have put the wrong number out there. Anyway. No, it's the right number, especially on Facebook. Okay. Well, anyway, they'll come on and bring the greetings, and then we'll do this on Wednesday. So, brother, I would be interested to really know who committed the Atlanta child murders in the early 80s. That's all I can tell you, black man. We would be interested to know. Inquiring black minds want to know. And you let us know if you got any info, okay, soldier?
All right, brother Malik.
I appreciate you so much, black.
All
any
right,
more
man.
Callers? Yeah, I know about should right. be calling in.
Yes, sir. We got them on right now, and we are happy to bring them on. Brothers and sisters, this family we've been waiting on. This is family Yah and Oba, Black Power family.
Black Power.
Black Power.
All right. Let me say this to you all. First of all, thank you for coming on. This is Sister Yah Asantewa and Brother Oba, two of New York's finest and most dedicated activists. And they have been struggling hard to be successful with a program of black farming in New York. What I'm going to do, you all, is we're going to conduct a brief interview tonight to get a few questions in. But then Wednesday night, we're going to pump it up. We're going to text everybody. We're going to put it all on our Facebooks. And we're going to announce that we're going to have a telethon on Wednesday to support you all. Because
thank
they
you.
Have gone in the hole. Trying to go in the hole and get our people out of the hole.
That's right.
And so there's a lot to be said, and I really want to give this topic the attention it deserves on Wednesday. But we can get started now. Minister Sean Qualley, help me take over. Just start off, you all, by telling us two things. Tell us your relationship to Dr. Khalid Muhammad, and tell us what this weekend was all about. And, Sean, you can take it from there. I'm going to listen in.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Well, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad was a very close friend of me and my husband. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, whenever he needed us to set certain things up in New York, we would do that for him because we were like a ram in the bush. When the enemy thought he was striking in the west, he was striking in the east, and we were setting these things up for him. We never talked about it, but we just did the work. So when Doc came to New York and spoke his last message, he asked us to bring him in. And we brought him into the Harriet Tubman School on 127th Street. And, of course, that was his last message before his demise. But nevertheless, we keep his spirit. We attack the food system in New York the way Khalid Abdul Muhammad would attack the enemy when he was here. We question why our people are all sick. Why is diabetes and high blood pressure and cancer and AIDS, and why is this dominant in our communities and not in other communities? How are we ingesting this and other folks are not ingesting this. It's coming through our food. So we look back to our black farmers who are growing food, standing in their fields, looking around for us to come to patronize and to eat good, healthy food. We're not there. We're running to Korean, Chinese, and all the other folks to feed us, and we're all dying, a slow death of genocide. But we're all dying for sure, and we're sick for sure for the food and the drinks that we're ingesting. So we're challenging it in the spirit of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. We say that if we generate $1.4 trillion a year, then certainly we can feed ourselves. We have black farmers all around the country growing food and unable to get the equipment and things that they need because of racism. But we say that if we have that kind of capital flow, then our black farmers shouldn't want for anything. We shouldn't have to beg anybody for anything. So we met with Reverend Al Sampson of Chicago, who decided that we can work with him through the George Washington Carver Farm. And that's what we're working with now. Only we're setting up the East Coast. He has set up the Midwest to connect the black consumer with the black farmer so that we can begin to feed ourselves. We say, yes, we can feed ourselves. Yes, we can clothe ourselves. Yes, we can shelter ourselves. We generate $1.4 trillion a year. Certainly we can do these things for ourselves. But the politicians that we have that are supposed to be representing us, they're not representing us, they're representing the master.
Yes, sir.
Yes, 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 sir. Brother, you want to add in on that?
There's a conspiracy that's on a genocidal wave that's hurting our people. It's been happening, of course, since they took us off the shores of Africa. And we have to really look at the pattern that has happened for all these centuries. And we have to understand why we came here to the cities and how we were pushed away and stripped away systematically from our land that was given to us right after chattel slavery. We had over 4 million acres of land right after the chattel slavery. And today, of course, we have less than 1 million acres. So we have to look at that very, very succinctly in our generation as of now, and make that connection with the black farmers who are holding on to the land in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And we've got to make certain our children understand the connection and to start eating so we can live.
Live longer.
Yes, sir. Can you tell us, sister and brother, how it is that you decided to get involved with this farming movement, why you feel like it's such an urgency to do it right now?
Well, the urgency is now. It's right, hitting us right in the face. As Sister Yasanta was reiterating, that we definitely have to look at why we are, there's a tremendous amount of people that are walking with canes, and we have a highest rate of sickness in our people. We're at high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer,
prostate
cancer. I mean, you know, just take a look around and look in the hospitals. And our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated, we're the largest incarcerated people on the face of the earth. So we're you know, it's obvious we're at war.
Yes, ma'am. Sister, you want to add on that?
Oh, I just like to say that there's so many areas that we have to do battle. Some are doing it in culture and other ways, and through song, through dance, through poetry. But we're doing it through food, which is really the life of us. If we have no food, we have no life. But certainly, we are prepared to go through around the people who are trying to prevent us from doing what we're doing. We're prepared to go over their heads, around them, and we body slamming them left and right to declare that we have a right to self-determination. We have a right to feed ourselves. We have a right to choose how we want to eat our food and where we want to get it from. We have that right. That is why it is so important that we establish our own food industry. The food industry is trillions of dollars a year, and we don't even get less than 1% of that money that are coming off the backs of our people that they are killing through a slow genocide. You go in the deli stores and you look, and every drink is full of corn syrup. It's full of all kinds of sugars that causes us to go into diabetes. Now our young children are diabetic. So we're dealing with a lot of things that other folk are not dealing with. Their children don't have diabetes. Their children are not asthmatic like our children are asthmatic. So we are saying that we are suffering and catching hell, and it's like we like Novocaine. We're just taking the pain. But there's some of us like Malcolm talk about that field Negro. We like the field Negroes. We're saying that we must be free by any means necessary. And whatever we have to do what we have to do, we will do what we have to do. And we're not afraid to challenge the system. Our little dude Muhammad was never afraid. He said, even if you can't do it, just dream about it. So even if we're not free, but damn it, we can dream about it. We can dream about it until we make it a reality. Our reality is that we're not doing what we're supposed to do as a people. I'm not saying don't blame the enemy, but I'm saying a lot of stuff is blamed. We got to take the blame. We got Negroes that are in office now calling themselves assembly people, council people, congressmen and congresswomen, but they're not doing anything for the black community. They're only doing things that the master allowed them to do. We have to understand that this man will never, ever set us free. We will never get reparation unless we take it, and we got to take it by force.
That's right. That's right. You all were as we said earlier, very, very close comrades. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, could you all kind of touch on some things that you may feel like were misunderstood about DACA, some things that you all might have experienced behind the scenes we wouldn't know about, that you could talk about?
Well, Tubbo's, that's my son, that's his spirit coming on me. Khalid Muhammad was very, very sensitive. I mean, he loved us more than we could ever love ourselves. I remember when I used to cater my food at the Slade Theater, and Khalid would drive up in the Mercedes, and there would be a sister who was, you know, doing, I don't know, she was prostituting or whatever, but he called her queen. I mean, he treated her like a queen. He asked her, you hungry? He fed her. He cared about the least of us. The ones that the leaders, the so-called leaders, would never take time to talk to, much less look at, much less do anything for, Doc would do it. And when he said, yes, ma'am, to me, that blew my mind. Because I see you have a giant man saying, yes, ma'am, to me. And I just, you know, I just adored him and honored him. But when he said, yes, ma'am, to me, it touched me so deeply. He was so loving. He loved us. He loved us so much. And he gave his life for us. He paid the ultimate price. How many of us would pay the ultimate price for us to be free? Khalid didn't care when he said it. But Khalid said, get rid of the reinforcement. He didn't care. He knew that they were listening to his speeches, but he didn't care. He knew they were following him, but he didn't care. All God cared about was us getting free. He said, if I just reach a few of you, he said, my life doesn't matter. What matters is that we be free. That's what matters.
And how are we going to get free if we're not healthy, if we can't even get out the bed because of what we're eating and what we're drinking and what the pharmaceutical pharmacies are giving us to medicate us? So we have to really, you know, we got to fight. And so I can only say, Doc, you know, we gonna do it your way, Doc.
Holler if you
hear me. All right.
Get away your way, Doc.
Holler if you hear me.
And Colin is he's not dead. His spirit is so alive. All you gotta do is just touch him that you really want Colin to drive you. Just tap his spirit, and he will most definitely touch your spirit.
Let me say this. What we want to do is have y'all back on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock sharp.
All right.
We want you to spread the word all over New York, and we want to have a telethon. We want to have a telethon. Maybe you get PayPal by then, Wednesday night, and we're going to come back on this radio and raise some money for the Black Farming Program in New York.
That's right.
And make sure that Black Farming survives in New York, and we want to get into details.
That's right.
More brothers and sisters, I was telling everybody, and I'm going to tell them Wednesday, that if y'all would have had more help,
help
with sales and distribution and refrigeration and coordination.
That's right.
We did the best we could for you in the new Black Panther Party, financially and on the ground, but maybe now people will believe in you.
That's right.
Telling them that they just wouldn't believe y'all. They wouldn't believe that if another black man and woman could bring food into New York. They could only believe that the white man could bring them food, not the black man.
That's right.
And so half the battle was belief. They say, well, I'm not going to trust another nigga like me with my money. I got to see it to believe it and still don't want to see it. But now that they see it, maybe they will believe you. So we're gonna put all effort behind making you all successful for round two, and gonna say you're successful in round one. Money ain't everything.
That's right. We open up the door.
That's right.
Money ain't everything. So Wednesday night, we're gonna let everybody go right now. But Wednesday night, we want everybody to come back on and spread the word. And we're going to come back on and talk about black farming in New York and all over America and land and freedom and independence.
Thank you.
Okay, so look, I love y'all. I sent y'all a packet today. Just hang tight. I mean, just watch, and it'll be there tomorrow.
All right.
We're going to keep moving, man. We appreciate what you're doing. We're here to lift your spirits. Thank you so much for being on the front line.
Thank you. We appreciate that, too.
All right, love y'all. Black power.
Black power.
Mr. Sean?
Yes, sir. I'm here, sir.
You still on? You're more than welcome to continue on, brother.
Oh, well, yes, sir. We just going to give the finalities and wrap on out, sir. Close on out.
You're more than welcome to continue on, and I'll be back on Wednesday. And I think I might be talking to New York tonight on a conference call at 10. You call me back. I'll tell you in a few minutes.
Yes,
brothers
sir.
And sisters,
right.
Black Power. Power. Love y'all. See you Wednesday.
Love you too, sir. Black Power. Brothers and sisters, of course, you have been tuned in to our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, and you've gotten to hear from our comrades, Sister Yah Santiwa and Brother Obi, and they're building. We're on the move. Bottom line is we're on the move, but we know that we are only as strong as our base, and we are only as strong as you. We're only as strong as our weakest link. And so we want to spread this mission across the total scope of the hells and smells of North America, and we want to revitalize the industry of black agriculture, the industry of black farming, the industry of that black thumb, and tilling the land, tilling the soil. And the basis of any revolution, if you are a revolutionary or a true activist and a true person of black power, if you want some real black power, you know that comes through that black land. And so we want to support and be able to support our family there in New York who has stepped out really on some faith, some serious faith, but some serious truth. And step
stepped out there and is driving out there to revitalize and to uplift us so that we can feed ourselves and take our mouths, as the messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught, out of the devil's kitchen. Take your mouth out of the white man's kitchen that you know is killing you and killing me, chemicalized, commercialized. We got to begin to grow our own foods. And with all these trucks running around and all these automobiles that we got running around, we should have some automobiles that are running our own black produce up and down the East Coast, our own black produce up and down the West Coast and through the Midwest and the South, North as well, all around. We got to have our own produce going around. We got to feed ourselves, because as this economy collapses and as the people begin to bum rush the stores and Kroger's and, you know, Safeway and all them other spots don't have the food to sustain the total masses of the people, you got to be able, we got to be able to grow our own food and also know what foods to look for and what foods that will preserve our life. And so this is the type of movement that we are involved in. But if you are interested in supporting our family, Brother Oba and Sister Yah, if you're able to support them or if you have experience in the agriculture field, then email us at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com immediately. Give us your credentials, your resume, and submit that right away so that we can get you qualified and get you in the right department to help in this mission. We, like I said, we're trying to expand it. And, of course, if you are down with Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz and down with our 10-point program, which is really up, if you're up with the program and you're ready to be resurrected into a mission of black power, uncompromising, bold, courageous, uncut, raw truth as taught by our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, the national and really international representative of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General, then you send us your email right away at nbpphq@yahoo.com and get ready to stand up. We are training up brothers and sisters fast. We're training them up fast, and we're training them up right away to be able to go into the community and to make war with the beast in your community. Whatever your communal dynamic is, we're training you up. We're training up freedom fighters to make war. And the more that we can multiply new Black Panthers in the hells and smells of North America, the more that we can make war with white supremacy and make war with black inferiority and make war with the ills that oppress and suppress our community and our divine greatness. That's nbpphq@yahoo.com, and make sure that you join us again on Wednesday and stay tuned with us. As you heard our national chairman say, he's coming black. He's coming black on this Wednesday, 8 p.m. He will be coming on to do the telethon. He's doing a telethon out of the kindness of his heart and really the urgency and necessity of the black nation. We're going to do a telethon. We're going to raise some funds. So be sure that you have your purses ready. And be sure that you have your hearts ready, your wallets ready. Be sure you got your dimes and your nickels, your dollars, your hundreds, your thousands ready to participate in black agriculture and black farming so that we can have a nation of our own. And as much money as we give to the white man, the white institutions and their restaurants and their business, you know it's a crying shame if you got family like Yah and Oba that are doing this kind of work and they're not supported by their people. We don't want them to end up in the position of so many of our great leaders who leave this planet broke and without anything substantial, no institution, because our own people would not support us while we lived. And so, again, that's Wednesday at 8 p.m. right here on Black Power Radio. Stay tuned for all the other shows that Black Power Radio will be producing and sending to you through our Ministry of Information, and we'll come black at you. So until next time, I'm your brother and your soldier in arms, Sean Kwali, happy to be able to serve you and happy to be able to represent these teachings of the new Black Panther Party as brought to you by Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. It's freedom or death. It's black power for black people. And if black people are not free, nobody's free. So until next time, black power.
His name is Malik.
Malcolm Garvey, here we
go. Dedicated to all political prisoners.
Until the fellow.